There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Mahomes in the shotgun. Kareem Hunt, the running back, goes in motion to set up a strong side. And now Mahomes looking right. Now the back of the end zone, caught! DeAndre Hopkins, welcome to the Chiefs' kingdom! Your first kingdom touchdown! Kansas City set up with an incredible 35-yard catch in the middle of a circus. And he catches 8 yards deep in the end zone, and the Chiefs take a 9-7 lead.
Mitch Holthus on the call right here on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan. Yeah, that was touchdown number one for DeAndre Hopkins, and that did follow the unbelievable catch. Led to a huge day, a huge night for DeAndre Hopkins, and obviously helped them on their way to an overtime win, capped off by a Kareem Hunt touchdown. We've got Nate Taylor joining us, his regular visit each and every Tuesday. He, of course, was at the game late last night at Arrowhead, and our conversations with Nate Taylor are presented by Mark Ferguson. We all make mistakes. Let Mark and his legal team make the best of them. 816-221-1750. We'll get to the mistake from Todd Bowles and two-point conversion stuff at some point, I'm sure. Well, what's going on, Nate?
I am well.
You get any sleep last night?
Hell no. I appreciate you asking. No, it was difficult to go to sleep just because your boy is in mid writing of the Mahomes feature for the halfway point of the season. Oh. So I am.
I'm glad it's only the halfway point and not the end of the season for him.
He made it super complicated for you because it is a not easy story to tell this year.
No. It's extremely captivating. There's reporting I have that I don't believe anybody else has done yet. Okay. So,
all right.
Can you give us a hint? Or is this just saving it all for the article?
I mean, the mothership, the New York Times / The Athletic would like for me to
keep that under wraps?
Yeah, give you a tease.
All right, when do I get to read it at least?
Hopefully on Friday.
Okay.
Would be like, if it was up to me, this thing would run Friday before they play the Denver Broncos on Sunday. It doesn't look like, at least as of right now, like the Chiefs are making a trade. So, yes, ladies and gentlemen, I chose one of the hardest days of the year, the trade deadline, election day, coming off of a Monday Night Football game, to try to get this story to my editor about the idea that Patrick Mahomes continues to evolve. That is basically what the story is about.
Okay.
And, there's just a lot in it. That I think people will obviously find interesting and intriguing, because if he's doing this at this point already, just imagine, because he continues to evolve in a way that I think you can see, and I think there's ways where you can't see, which is obviously what I'm trying to explain.
We'll talk about the game here in just a second, but real quick, you alluded to it there. We're less than 2 hours away from the NFL trade deadline. We know they already made their big move, DeAndre Hopkins, last week or a week and a half ago, whatever it is. At this point in time, are they done?
I think so. I think Lattimore, Marshawn Lattimore, was their number one target when today began, or essentially after last night's game. I know some people will say, well, Nate, they're 8-0. The defense has played pretty well up to this point in the season. Why would they want a veteran cornerback? Obviously someone who's been a Pro Bowler before. And I think the one thing that you could point to last night, because you're not going to change the linebackers, and they've struggled obviously against covering tight ends all season. But when Baker Mayfield was in an up-tempo 2-minute drill,
I picked on a little.
Where is 30 and where is 2? And if you could just mitigate one of those with a better, serviceable, even above average cornerback alongside opposite Trent McDuffie, then the defense doesn't have as many, doesn't have necessarily as what appears to be a minor hole that obviously could get bigger as the season goes on. But that's one of the reasons why it's unfortunate that, you know, Jalen Watson is basically done for the year, and he was playing great for the first six games of the season. But Christian Roland Wallace is an undrafted rookie. And, you know, Joshua Williams has basically struggled from training camp on this year. So you can't necessarily you're not really sure what you're going to get from him. So even though I think they're probably done, I think their biggest priority, I guess, from now until 3 o'clock, because I can still obviously make a move, is at the cornerback position, because you can see that the competition last night was not high. But
Sterling Shepard and
in a gotta have it drive, Baker Mayfield basically found his one-on-one matchups against those corners. And in the postseason, it will not be Sterling Shepard running routes with the season on the line.
I know the Jalen Watson stuff changed a little bit. Like, I go back through because, I mean, this season, they've faced their fair share of good NFL quarterbacks. Top 10 NFL quarterbacks. I mean, they faced Lamar Jackson, the MVP favorite. They faced Kirk Cousins. They faced Joe Burrow, who's having a tremendous season statistically. I mean, they've faced their fair share. This is the first time I saw him struggle. In a weird way, I'll wait another time. Baker, to me, is just like, he plays, he's one of the few players, I feel like, just generally in sports, that even though he's probably like the 12th best quarterback and always is, usually the 12th best quarterback, in my opinion, is just like, the reason why they're that is they're steady. They don't screw anything up. They just live their life. They go about it. They Alex Smith their way through life, and they're fine. Baker's a gamer.
Yes.
The reason why he's the 12th best quarterback is like, things start heating up, and you get the best version of Baker. I might just chalk up the two-minute warning to that before I start panicking if I were the Chiefs. Baker just does stuff like that sometimes.
Yeah, and he's not afraid of Patrick Mahomes because obviously he's battled against him.
Great college game.
Yes. And so that was why his reaction to the coin toss was so enlightening, so entertaining, and so relatable. Because I was like, I don't agree with Todd Bowles.
It's a stupid decision.
Yeah, we've all been there, right? We've seen it. I don't know who it was on Twitter last night, and it was a great analogy of just saying, like, if you don't go for two with less than a minute left, with, you know, what appears to be the momentum, and you went right down the field, it's like turning your back on Michael Myers. Yeah. Like, he's gonna get you. Like, he's down. Kill him. Like, do something. Don't
back over him with your car.
Yeah, don't turn around and walk away. But that's essentially what they did. They said, hey, go kick the extra point. And then Baker Mayfield's like, we can't do this. This is not smart. But yeah, I love Baker Mayfield because the game plan was not easy to accomplish. Hey, don't let Chris Jones devour you. You have no receivers of any caliber like Mike Evans or Chris Godwin. And you got to see the blitz and check it down and get it to your guys in open space and hope they miss a couple tackles, which ended up happening. And then when the opportunity was there, he striked to get those two touchdowns to keep them in the game. I mean, you can't ask much more from Baker Mayfield, but I do think Baker Mayfield doesn't have necessarily the cachet or the onions to tell Todd Bowles, I'm not leaving this field.
Yeah.
You know, they're still in a divisional race, so it's not the worst thing in the world. But I do love the way Baker Mayfield has come into his own and can adjust based on the circumstances, because I went into that game thinking they were going to lose by double digits just based on the lack of skill position talent available to him.
The other thing, though, other than DeAndre Hopkins himself and how great he looked coming out of the game, that I really liked was Cody and I were discussing the rushing attack. First half, they struggled to run the ball, but only 9 carries for the running backs. And I felt like they got away from the run a little bit. And then we saw them run 3 or 4 straight plays, and the rest is kind of history. Offensively, they started to move the ball again. Kareem Hunt ends up with over 100 yards on 27 carries. That, to me, was a good sign that Andy Reid is willing to not completely avoid the running game just because it doesn't work in the first half, which is what I was really concerned was happening.
Yeah, I heard you guys earlier on this, and I think the best part about it is the conditions, the opponent, and the fact that, look, I don't think Patrick was, like, really comfortable in the first half. Obviously, he ended up with 4 sacks. Mm-hmm. So, hey, it's how can we stabilize things? How can we slow things down and get us back on track? And giving the ball to Kareem Hunt has been a revelation. I never, ever, ever thought he was going to be this good, guys. There was no way to necessarily predict it.
It's crazy.
I think, you know, one of the stats that I just saw, which I don't know, like, if there's a large sample size, but it is something. With 118 touches and 465 scrimmage yards, Kareem Hunt has set a new Super Bowl era record for the most touches and yards by a player signed midseason through his first five games with a club. So if you can rely on that, no matter how long it's going to last, that helps stabilize the offensive line. That obviously makes you more balanced, so the defense can't necessarily just focus on the passing attack. And then all of a sudden, hey, you find one-on-one matchups for Travis Kelce. You find one-on-one matchups on the outside for DeAndre Hopkins. And now all of a sudden this thing is humming. Even despite the quarterback dealing with with a rolled ankle on a slippery field, the coaching staff adjusted really, really well last night when things could have clearly gotten out of hand, where we see it, you know, a bunch of times in the regular season. Where you're like, how did that team lose a game? Well, sometimes it's because you didn't have the right game plan and you couldn't adjust, or you didn't have the personnel to like make a change on the fly. Well, the Chiefs are able to do that with an offense that has continued been a revolving door, because this is only DeAndre Hopkins' second game. And they don't have Juju. They don't have Rashee Rice. And Travis Kelce all of a sudden has gone right back to being the world's greatest tight end.
So obviously DeAndre Hopkins is a professional wide receiver like we discussed last week. I was stunned that inside of 10 days, Patrick Mahomes trusts him enough to throw that ball already. I have not seen him throw a ball to a wide receiver like that since Tyreek. It's been years, Nate.
Yes.
He's known it for 10 days, and he's like, good enough.
Yep.
Here comes the ball, DeAndre. You'll probably figure it out. And I just like the idea that they could build that kind of trust is that proves to me that they got into a practice field and Mahomes thought the exact same thing as us.
Yes.
He threw him a couple of routes, and he's like, that's a professional man. He knows what he's supposed to do.
He really
catches it with his hands or whatever the hell he's supposed to do. All the little things, right? And I feel like he must have just noticed it immediately if he's going to throw it.
Okay, let me remind people, because this is obviously part of the story I'm writing, but like you say, Cody, that he catches the ball with his hands. Dog, last year they had a receiver group that dropped 25 catchable passes, the most of any receiver group since the 2012 Jags, and they won the Super Bowl.
He catches the ball. Like, this sounds so stupid, but like when you watch something finally and it's been a while, it's like when you finally got a quarterback here. He catches the ball differently than their other wide receivers.
Oh, with confidence.
It just looks like he's meaning to do it.
He goes and snags the football out of the air and he gets it.
Yes.
Yeah, he goes and gets it.
And secure against tight coverage, right? Like that play. Hey, I'm going to catch the ball and I know which shoulder to turn on the outside to get additional yards, to get us another first down when, you know, most receivers would have been like, hey, I'm comfortable getting that 6-7. It at least keeps us, you know, ahead of the chains. And we could just go from there. Man, they ran an RPO where he was wide open on a slant. And it's almost to the point where you're like, hey, guys, that's DeAndre Hopkins. Like, that's a Pro Bowl caliber receiver. You might want to guard him. But he just knows what to do. And even though he doesn't know the full playbook, and even though DeAndre sort of acknowledged that, like, I ran the wrong route, to your point, he still threw him the ball. And amidst a collapsing pocket, it's just
a great throw.
It's an incredible throw. Maybe Josh Allen can do that. Maybe Geno Smith. I don't know anybody else in the league right now other than those two guys who can maybe make that throw in that much amount of traffic, with VFA basically like getting ready to devour him. And the placement was perfect. And the best part was DeAndre caught the ball and stood up and said, oh, yeah, this is what I do. There's no like elaborate celebration. Nope. There's no like, oh yeah, like I just made a play not even I could make, you know? That's the beauty of watching DeMarcus Robinson. Every time he makes a play for the Rams, he's like, even he's surprised.
How about the walk-off catch, though?
Oh, incredible.
Walk-off catch for the Rams against the Seahawks in overtime.
Mm-hmm. You could definitely celebrate, but there's part of him where he's like,
I got it.
I just did this with Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua as my teammates. Like, I'm leading us to game-winning victories. Whereas, you know, DeAndre Hopkins is like, yes, it's just a Monday. This is a Monday in week 9. We just keep it going.
But he looks happy. He looks happy to be doing this.
Oh, he was emotional in post-game, the on-field interview that he had there. I mean, he was pretty emotional about being in this spot. He was also still pretty grateful to the Titans. They didn't have to trade him to Kansas City.
Yes.
Especially when now we see the compensation today. Mike Williams goes to the Steelers for a fifth-round pick. The Chiefs traded a fifth-rounder, maybe a fourth if they make the Super Bowl. But the exact same compensation. They got two more games out of Hopkins than what the Steelers are going to get out of Williams, and obviously, let's just be real, DeAndre Hopkins is a better wide receiver than Mike Williams. Not even close.
Like,
pretty much all the time.
Guys, like, there's a deadline. You don't, you know, hey, I would have told this to the Steelers. You don't have to trade for him because once the deadline passes,
cut him.
He's going to get cut. So, like, what are you doing?
Yeah, that's kind of surprising.
Like, okay, if it's a seventh round pick, a little pick swap, cool. You know, make it easy, get him in the building sooner rather than later. You could have done that at 4:00. You could have cut. They were going to cut him, I think, tomorrow had he not been traded. And then you could have just picked him up. So, again, the two trades that the Chiefs have made with DeAndre Hopkins and Joshua Uche, like, they appear to be above the average of what we're seeing today, even though I think Marshon Lattimore is a great player.
Yeah,
he is not. How many picks is it?
It's what, a third, a
fifth
and a seventh or something. It's like three picks going to New Orleans.
That's a lot.
Yeah. I feel like the Chiefs were a stalking horse. They were just driving that price up. Just like, I got a fourth for you. Maybe one of these thirds.
Maybe a third. Yep.
Maybe one of these thirds.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, but what else you got? And you're like, what else? What are you talking about?
Yeah, and then the Saints. The Saints leak out that the Chiefs are interested or a bunch of teams are interested.
And then up comes the price tag.
The Commanders are obviously in a different spot. They got a lot of money to free up for next year.
Yeah, and they have, and God bless them, they have their quarterback. You know, that is legitimate.
Do you think, though, we saw in Buffalo, I think it is, right, that they're going to move on from Mike Edwards. He's getting cut. He was asked for release. He's going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
He's a safety, not a corner, but do you think, could he come back to Kansas City?
The problem with that is Jaden Hicks is, he's good.
Yeah.
He's a rookie, and
did Mike Edwards ever play any corner at all? Would they line him up? So then he's not going
to
be a fit.
You could ask him to maybe be a slot guy in like a dime personnel package. They've obviously did that at times last year based on the availability or the lack of availability from Brian Cook, obviously dealing with the ankle injury. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think they need boundary help more than inside slot.
Does that exist? Does that exist at this point?
I don't think so. And I mean, again, if you're going to make a trade of this, if you're going to make a trade today, the player has to be a clear upgrade based on what you have. And I don't know if there's another cornerback who is a clear upgrade from Nazi Johnson or Joshua Williams or even Christian Roland Wallace, because those guys can be rotated in throughout the course of the season. If the picks are going to take that much, which I think is a bit surprising, then it's probably smart to just stay pat and see if someone from a cornerback standpoint gets released, not necessarily Mike Edwards, even though I think Mark Edwards will obviously fit in the system, do well. I think he's looking at it as, and I understand this, like, who's better, DeMar Hamlin or Mike Edwards?
DeMar Hamlin's actually playing really well this year.
Yeah.
He's playing really well this year.
It's a toss-up based on the scheme, the production, and, like, who's...
History.
Healthy... Like, who can be more consistent? Obviously, Mike Edwards has the postseason experience that DeMar Hamlin is just now starting to get. But I think that's the struggle for him, is I'm not playing as much as I want to. And Tyler Rapp is playing out here. And, you know, he got a lot of trick-or-treat in him as well, where you don't know what's coming out of his production game to game.
I guess this is what doesn't bother me is what you're describing is essentially there is no perfect team.
No.
The Chiefs have the best quarterback.
Yes.
The best interior offensive line. The best interior defensive player in the league. Best coach, GM, quarterback. Mm-hmm. So, okay. Defensive coordinator. They got a little bit of problem at tackle.
Mm-hmm.
They got a little bit of problem at corner. Because no perfect teams. Because I could argue they have one of the best top three front sevens in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they got a couple problems here or there. I'll live my life.
Yeah.
I'll be okay.
And the offense can get better. You know, they scored a good amount after having a sort of very shaky first half. But look, I mean, they scored 30 points yesterday. That's their season high. I know it took five quarters, but still, when they had to have it, when they had to get a drive to get a lead or to win the game, they ended up doing it. And so, you know, Isaiah Pacheco is going to come back. There's great belief that Hollywood Brown's going to come back. I've obviously said that before. Juju Smith-Schuster is not on IR, so you might be seeing him in the next, you know, week or two moving forward, you know, now that they have a clear idea as to how they can use DeAndre Hopkins alongside Travis Kelce. Then you put Juju Smith-Schuster on the field with Xavier Worthy. You got four legitimate, really good options to throw the football with. And Kareem Hunt, again, if he can continue this level of production, the offense becomes even more dynamic, explosive, and unpredictable. So that can help you in some areas where, you know, left tackle, it's hard. I saw that, you know, Next Gen Stats and Pro Football Focus actually graded Wanya Morrison very good last night. I don't know. Okay.
I have a different opinion. Yeah. I didn't think he was miserable. I just thought
you're right.
You know,
I don't think he was bad, but I don't think he was like as good as they said he was. But okay, I mean, those grades were more like, I think, reflective of Trey Smith last night.
Especially, he was great,
especially in the run game. Yeah. So if that continues, then okay. Even if the quarterback is not as mobile as you would like because he's not fully healthy, I get the sense that, yeah, there is no perfect team, but they have such an advantage in the standings. And Patrick Mahomes, as I asked him last night, he's dead on determined to get home field advantage in Arrowhead. Like, we not going to do this again.
I'm not going on the road.
Like we did this last year. If you give us home field advantage with that crowd and that stadium with all the experience we have, you know, that's quite a tall task for the Bills, the Ravens, obviously, even the Chargers, even teams that are trying to, like, get in the mix. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a tough challenge. And if you stay home, you know, you get such an advantage.
No, the bye week is massive.
Yes. And I think that's what they're hoping to do, even though they might not be able to improve their team today.
Real quick, as we got Nate Taylor from The Athletic joining us, as he does each and every Tuesday. Broncos on Sunday. It's a quick turnaround for everybody on this one. They obviously are coming off a pretty bad loss to Baltimore. They just got beat up. Their defense could not stop Lamar and company. What do you make of this one for Kansas City, just an early look?
I think it's going to have to be kind of a game where you just try to manage everything and not get – hopefully the game doesn't get too wacky, doesn't get too weird.
Yeah.
It'd be nice if they had like a 10-point lead at some point in the first half and they could just sort of salt it away. Much of this game will come down to Patrick's, you know, mobility, like how much treatment and how much can the ankle get strengthened between now and Sunday, again, on a short bye week. Look, I don't know if Juju's going to play. I would say probably not at this point. But who knows? He might return to practice. The defense has to get pressure on Bo Nix. Because if you get pressure on Bo Nix, he does rookie quarterback things.
Mike Dana could be back?
Yes. Yes, he could be back. Obviously, Josh Uche will play more snaps, one would assume. George Karlaftis is on a nice little tear right now.
Yeah, he is.
And Chris Jones still just Chris Jones was collapsing the pocket on double teams last night. Where I
almost
just,
had that one late.
Yeah, he got held like 10 times.
Yes,
I'm just like shaking my head in the press box. I'm like, guys, no one understands what this man is doing to like a pretty good offensive line where it's just like two guys are just moving backwards 5 yards every time I know you're throwing the football. So if you get Bo Nix into some non-favorable situations and, you know, some pressure, I assume the blitzes will work against Bo Nix in the ways that they didn't work against Baker Mayfield. I just want to see Bo Nix give us one what the hell you doing pass. Just give us one, baby, because it's a new kickoff. And
that's right.
I mean, I just don't think you're not going to be as, you know, emotionally up for a new kickoff like you would be on primetime. But I just want Bo Nix to do wild things in Arrowhead Stadium. You know, his first time in there.
Nate Taylor from The Athletic will be keeping an eye maybe on Friday for the halfway point piece there on Patrick Mahomes and what he's doing. All right, coming up next, we'll get to what's trending. And then earlier today, our NFL insider, Vinny Pasquantino, joined us. We'll get his thoughts on the Chiefs' start to the season now at 8-0.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What's trending here on Cody and Gold, presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. A busy trade deadline day, none directly related to the Chiefs, but we'll get you caught up on what has happened. The big trade today, Marshawn Lattimore, no longer a member of the New Orleans Saints. He goes to the 7-2 Washington Commanders. Now, there was pretty considerable compensation for a player of his caliber that was required, but remember, the Commanders are in a different spot. They give up a third-round pick, also a couple other late-round picks to make that happen. Also, Mike Williams traded to the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's the Jets receiver. Fifth-round pick is all it took, is what you might say, but then remember, DeAndre Hopkins only went for a fifth-round pick. So kind of interesting there. Also, earlier in the day, Za'Darius Smith became a member of the Detroit Lions. He gets traded from the Browns. Jonathan Mingo, Panthers wide receiver, gets traded to the Dallas Cowboys.
The surprising one to me was Preston Smith getting traded from the Packers to the Steelers. Who trades a, like, rotational pass rusher at 8 sacks last year in the middle of a season when you yourself are in a playoff hunt?
Surprised by that. He's 32 years old, owed about $17 million next year. Had 8.5 sacks the last two seasons. Kind of surprising. I'm with you.
Money dump, I guess, or playing the long game, but it is confusing. Steelers know they only got this 1 year of Russell Wilson under contract, so where he costs nothing.
Load up the defense.
So they're doing whatever they can to try to steal some weirdo Super Bowl on defense where they just do it with Russell Wilson, which would be remarkable. I'll give him that. Next up on What's Trending, local college basketball last night. KU won 87-57. MU lost to Memphis 83-75. UMKC won 91-68 over Hannibal LaGrange. Actually, UMKC women's got the better win, traveling up to Utah State to get the win. And then Kansas State gets underway tonight against New Orleans. You can hear that game over on The Fan AM starting at 6 o'clock? 6 o'clock.
Lastly, if you're in Missouri, Amendment 2 today on the ballot on Election Day, that would legalize sports betting. It is the best chance if you're someone that just wants sports betting in Missouri. I have told you, I don't think it's a perfect amendment. I don't think that there's questions involved, but if you strictly are talking about legalizing sports wagering, something that 7 of the other states that border you have, then vote yes on Amendment 2. You want to go to Arrowhead and bet? You want to go to Kauffman State and be able to bet? For your anti-gambling, I would say that there's already like 16 casinos in your state. So you're not preventing gambling from happening in Missouri. It's already happening. Oh, yes, on Amendment 2. That's my spiel.
I just want to be able to bet.
You're a Missouri resident.
I want to bet on my couch. I can bet here before I go home. But last night when the Chiefs got up to +115 on the money line.
Yeah, you couldn't bet.
Right now,
you couldn't.
I couldn't bet it.
I could.
Would I have bet it? Yeah.
Someone in Illinois could.
Of course I would have.
Someone
bet
in
it.
Iowa could.
Mm-hmm.
Someone in Arkansas. Oklahoma. Yeah, Oklahoma's the
Oklahoma.
One.
That's in Oklahoma, just slumming it.
That is the only Election Day conversation you will hear on Cody and Gold.
Until Drew tells us who he's voting for.
That's right. Drew has promised at 153.50. 153.50, Drew said he will tell us exactly how he bet.
His whole ticket.
How he bet, how he voted.
The whole ticket.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Top to bottom. Mm-hmm. And how you would have voted on the ones in Missouri.
And in all seriousness, a lot of people have asked me, like, how do I think it goes for sports betting? I keep 50, getting 50. Told it's going to be very tight. I've been texting with people today. They say it's going to be very tight. I did hear, though, if it passes, it could be up and running in early 2025, as in by March Madness, if it passes.
Ooh.
It requires Missouri residents to do that.
March Madness. Okay.
Could be ready for March Madness if it passes today. If it doesn't pass today, and as I told you yesterday, it could be quite some time before you ever see betting in Missouri on the sports front. That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Earlier today, we had our VentFL insider, Vinny Pasquantino, join us, and obviously wanted to get his perspective on the big overtime win last night for Kansas City. And we did start our conversation, ask him about his trip. He was in the Bahamas this past weekend. We found out why. VentFL insider, how we feeling, man? Are you stateside yet? Are you still overseas?
I am stateside. I got back on Sunday evening. Now I'm just enjoying the next few weeks of peace before start traveling again for wedding season.
Yeah, so this was, my understanding was a bachelor party, right, over the weekend?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm allowed to say it was Bobby's bachelor party.
Yeah, yeah.
I think there were enough players posting about it that we put two and two together.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, it was his bachelor party. It was a lot of fun.
Was Michael Wacha there? We were happy to see him back with the Royals.
Michael Wacha was in Kansas City finishing up a deal that I think everybody should be pretty happy about. So, yeah, he was not there, but he was in Kansas City signing pen to paper there, confirming that he'll stay with the Kansas City Royals for at least the next 3 years, hopefully the next 4 years.
Now, I don't know, did you get the, going back to Bobby for a second, I don't know if you were part of, I guess you were, at the bachelor party. We thought it was super cool, the Topps, I guess, baseball cards that were actually asking their groomsmen gifts, or at least asking to be part of the bachelor party. Did you get one of those?
I did. It was a pretty cool thing that's on my mantle right now. I thought it was a really cool way for a guy who's super into cards like he is. I thought it was a really, special way to ask guys to be a part of his big day. So I do have one.
Vinny, I'm assuming that Bobby kind of lands in this same thing, but we're watching the Chiefs game last night. Andy Reid says that Mahomes has the loosest ankles in the NFL. Do you find that some players just have an additional flexibility to avoid injury in that kind of case? Because for about 60 seconds, I was worried Mahomes was down for the year.
Yeah, so full transparency, I did not see it. I was at a hockey game, so I did not see the injury. I saw the end of the game, but so I saw them like talking about it. But yeah, I think there's just some guys that, I don't know, it feels like have a knack to not have things go wrong. Like, I don't even know how to describe it. I don't know what the science would be there, but maybe it's just simple toughness. Like, I don't know how to describe it. There's just a will there for him to be okay. And I'm sure he's in pain. You know, it didn't look like there was the one play where he fell down after, I think it was after he handed the ball off. I'm sure there's some stuff going on, but he definitely seems to be a guy that when things go wrong, he doesn't let it affect anything to the point where you can't tell if anything is seriously wrong or not. So you got to give it to him for that.
I think everybody, including Baker Mayfield, knew what was going to happen once that game went to overtime, though. We're kind of stunned that the Bucs didn't take their shot there, Vinny, and try to go for two.
Yeah, I think I'm in agreement with the announcers. There was a few things that were confusing there. I don't understand the timeout.
No, that was a bad one.
It just feels like 30 seconds or whatever. Like, kudos to the Buccaneers for scoring there and making that, go to overtime. But I don't think anybody saw 27 seconds left on the clock with three timeouts for the Chiefs thinking, like, I was surprised they didn't score at the end of the fourth, to be honest. And then, you see them get the ball to start overtime. It's like, okay, well, it just feels like the game's over. That's just what they do. You can't let them have an opportunity to finish the game on their own on their own accord. And if you give them that opportunity, they're going to take it. And that's why they are who they are, because they do the little things right. If they make mistakes, they can cover up for it later. And they simply just don't make as many mistakes as other teams. They've got better players, and they're just really freaking good.
I think Baker's the perfect example of organizations matter. Like, I'm impressed. They lost their top two wide receivers. He's still out there battling with Patrick Mahomes on the road in a game. I felt like I gave him a ton of credit. I feel like he's kind of underrated still amongst some of the great NFL quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean, I think the word, not to use a word twice, but I think the word is just tough. He's just a good player. The thing about him, right, is he's going to look like he did last night. I think there's some inconsistencies with sometimes he looks fantastic, sometimes he doesn't look fantastic, and that's probably why he's been with a few different teams. It's not anything against him. It's just kind of the truth. Sometimes he throws interceptions that he probably shouldn't. And sometimes, like the last drive last night, he looks like the number one overall pick, where he's just slinging the ball around to Sterling Shepard, and he just looks fantastic. So he kept him in that game last night. I think, that's a tough one for the Bucs to swallow. You've got the Chiefs right there. I think you could say that about like five teams that have played the Chiefs this year, and the Chiefs are just better, and they know how to finish games.
Yeah, that what you just said there is exactly, I think, what most of Kansas City is feeling like here, and maybe most of the NFL, which is that you watch them and there's plenty of moments where you're like, oh, this team is very beatable. And yet, I think as Scott Van Pelt said, he's like, they're unbeatable, even if they look beatable at times. But and here we are, and they're sitting at 8-0.
Yeah, they do the little things better than everybody else. They block better. They run the football and they stop the run. And even though we're in a new era of football where throwing is king, even though I think it's coming back, like you can stop the run and you can run it. You're gonna have a shot because you can take time off the clock and you can keep time in your favor when you can stop the other team from running. So they do the little things really well, like I keep saying, and it's they're just a tough team to beat. Obviously,
we've had a show debate about whether or not which teams to take seriously in the rest of the AFC. So I'd like your opinion. Our producer obviously is a Cincinnati Bengals fan. I think they're fraudulent. Do you still think they're dangerous?
They do little things poorly. Too many penalties, too many big defensive plays. So, yeah, I don't see them. I see it probably as a three-team race in the AFC between the Chiefs, Bills, and Ravens. I think really anybody outside of that doesn't really have a shot, in my personal opinion.
Now, are you going to hear over the next couple weeks, maybe at least from a playoff spot perspective, talk yourself back into your Jets? You got to feel at least better about the situation after that big win last week.
Yeah, I mean, they don't have the strongest schedule in the back half of the season. So I think from that end, it gives you some hope that they can go on a little bit of a run, but they need to tighten some things up. And they haven't done that all year, so there's no precedent that they're going to. So if they were to make a run, it would surprise me a little bit, but I could see it happening. But they need to be better in pretty much all facets of the game. And they'll show glimpses of it like they did in the second half against the Texans. And if they continue to play like that, it'll be great. But they've given me no reason to believe that they'll continue to play like that. Doesn't mean they won't, but I have no evidence that they will. So I'm hopeful that they will. Really hopeful that they will. But we'll see what happens.
Maybe, Vinny, for your sake, maybe the Lions can be like, I don't think at any point in my entire life, I was born in 1984, could you openly say the Lions are one of, if not the best team in the entire NFL right now? They had a long run of bad. Maybe that could be the next thing for the Jets, right? The Lions are the example of how you can come out of the darkness.
Yeah, well, that's they've got a coach that clearly leads that team that everybody buys into. I mean, I'm a big believer in, even if your plan is bad, but everybody believes in it, you've got a shot. In no way am I saying the Lions' plan is bad. I'm just saying that's how I believe in it. And the Lions have so much conviction in what they're doing that they're just a tough team to beat, too, because they believe in everything they're doing. Like, we're going to come hit you in the face, and we'll see how you react to it. Like, we're going to play offense all game long, see how that feels. And they've been able to just beat teams up this year, and it's been really impressive to watch. And, yeah, I'd love it if my team was like that.
You get there one day. I have faith in you.
Thank you.
Like, just remind me again, what age did you become a Jets fan?
I don't remember. It's been my whole life.
Okay.
That's a lifelong. It's the whole Vinny Testaverde thing.
Yeah. I know that there's like a picture of when I was like 5 or 6 years old wearing a Curtis Martin full outfit, like full uniform for, I don't even think it was Halloween. I'm pretty sure for Christmas, I just wore an entire Curtis Martin uniform.
No, I respect it. I just think that, like, when you look at the organizations that change it, a lot of times it starts with quarterback. I'm assuming that that's why the Jets tried with Aaron Rodgers. It's just harder to draft one. I guess that's what
I disagree. I think a lot of it starts from even higher than that.
Okay.
You have to put people in the right situation, and that's your job as, like, front office, right? You create the culture and the situation for guys to come thrive. And if you're lucky enough, you'll bring in a player that can change it on his own. But for the most part, that starts from the top down. And you can see that with some – Sam Darnold is thriving in Minnesota.
Right.
Nobody would have said that, right? That comes from a culture standpoint of Kevin O'Connell does a great job with him, and they set it up in a really good way. And, situation does matter quite a bit in sports. Now, sometimes, like I said, there's players that can transcend situation, but for the most part, it's all situation-based.
Can the same be said for your fantasy football team? Is the right man in charge? How are we looking?
That's 100% correct. You guys got to want to come to work and want to work for you. So that's why I always try to draft tough-minded individuals on my fantasy team to just make sure that we're in every single game. We might not win every single game, but we're gonna make it tough on our opponents.
Who's having the worst season? If you can just throw out somebody's name, that's part of that fantasy football league.
Garrett Hampson. His team sucks. It's like 1-7 right now. His team is just called Fire Sale, which is a crazy thing to have in a 1-year redraft league. So, yeah.
Who's he selling it for?
What are people trading him real cash? What's going on here?
I think he's just tired of his team and he wants new players. But nobody wants his players. He's 1-7.
Does he at least have the injury excuse? Like, did he draft McCaffrey and Pacheco and he just got screwed?
I'm in so many leagues that I have no idea.
Fair enough.
I feel bad for Garrett.
Yeah.
Seems like a nice guy. You know, I feel bad for his terrible fantasy.
Great guy, and playoff absolute champion for us this year.
No doubt. Hey, Vinny, appreciate it, man. Enjoy the rest of the week.
Yep. See you guys.
There you go. Vinny Pasquantino, our VinFL insider with us earlier today. He joins us every Tuesday right around 10:30 on 96.5 The Fan. And poor Garrett Hampson just getting called out there. I appreciate Vinny throwing out the name. I was just curious. There's somebody in your team league that's terrible. And I guess this year it happens to be Garrett Hampson's fantasy football team.
Sounds like it's going pretty bad, man. 1-7.
That's rough.
You putting a lineup together?
That's rough.
I've had some bad fantasy football terms. But I mean, 1-7.
It's a long season.
How many fantasy leagues are you in? 4? Sounds like Vinny's in at least 3 or 4.
I have the 3 guillotine leagues that we do.
Ooh, and that's 3 already.
That's 3. I'm still alive in all 3. And then
who knows? I'm only alive in 1 of the 2.
I have 2 other leagues, so 5, which is a lot. I'll be honest. In the guillotine league, I figured I'd be chopped by now. So I'm like, those 3 will go away. Somehow we're still alive in all 3, and it's November. So that's good.
If you're curious how DeAndre Hopkins is feeling about being in Kansas City, 4 minutes ago, he tweeted just a photo of Tom Brady and Randy Moss embracing.
Love it.
Referencing that.
DeHop going to get his first ring. I'm telling you, he'll end up in the Hall of Fame. You get that ring, and it solidifies his case. The problem for him was the PED thing. But if he gets a ring, and he finishes his career strong, and
they care less about it in the NFL.
Then I think he'll end up in the Hall of Fame. I think he should be. His numbers are going to be there when it's all said and done. Hope you guys have a good rest of the day. Tomorrow, we're back at it, 10 to 2. Ross Tucker going to join us on the show, and we'll talk about whether or not sports betting passed.
Please.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.